Okay, open up your Bibles. We'll get back to our study on faith versus hope. Go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. We'll start there, but all I want you to understand that you will not receive from God because you hope. Remember, we talked about that. And also we found out that whatever you do receive from heaven, you're going to receive it the same way you got born again. You're going to believe in your heart, and you're going to confess it with your mouth. You're going to claim it as yours. Nowhere does the Bible say that when we pray, we shall receive what we hope for. God's word does say, however, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. This, I'm going to turn over there to Mark chapter 11. Because this is, you know, Jesus gives us directions. And it's really, life is an open book test. You know, he gave his answers, he gave you the directions, the recipe. You know, people are always looking for ways to get their prayers answered, and this right here is one that Jesus said. Yeah.
It's an open book test, but it's okay even if you fail it. You get to take it again.
Yeah. 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 Verse 22. Well, actually, I'm going to go. Let's go all the way up to verse 14. Well, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered, said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. What was happening there when he cleaned out the money changers is everybody had to bring sacrifices to the temple, to the high priest. They would inspect them. They'd inspect these sacrifices. And if they weren't, if they didn't pass the inspection, they'd say, okay, we'll buy this sheep for $10. We have a sheep that will pass the inspection, a lamb that will pass the inspection back here. We'll sell it to you for $25. So then they'd bring that sheep up there. They'd take this sheep that didn't pass inspection back there. Some other guy would come up there with a lamb. They'd say, well, this sheep doesn't pass the inspection, so we'll buy it for $10. But we have one back here that will. So they bring the one that they said was rejected up and sell it to him for $25. That's what was going on. And they, he cleaned them out. In verse 19 it says, when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And I want you to see this. There's all kinds of wild preaching sermons that have come out of this account here. I even heard one guy said, well, Jesus was just getting his cross ready. That was the tree that they... And I thought, how do you know that? Come on. And then heard people get mad. Well, Jesus cursed the tree. It's his creation. But here's the thing that we really need to see. Jesus said it. And there's no account in the Bible of him ever saying, I wonder how that tree's doing. There's no account of him sending anybody over there to check on that tree. What he said was good enough, and he went on about his day, and in fact, Peter had to go get him and say, that tree that you cursed is dead. Here's the gist of it. This is why it's important to pay attention to the people in your circle. You see, everybody has a circle of friends. You know, see, Jesus had multitudes of people around him. And then, you know, there was 500 or so people that were in the upper room. And he sent 70 out two by two. And he narrowed that down. He had 12 disciples. 12 apostles that were in his inner circle, you might call his ministry. And then he narrowed that down to 3 people who he chose to be really close. These were the people that were there, you know, when the pressure was really on. You know, these are the people that went to the Mount of Transfiguration. These are the people that went to the Rock of Gethsemane with him. But he had it narrowed down to even one. Narrowed down to even one. It wasn't Peter. When Jesus was on the cross, he looked down at John and he said, Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. He entrusted his own mom to John. But it's important to have people around that can stand in faith, pray in faith, and stand in faith that'll come into agreement with you and stay that way. That's not the easiest thing to find. And here's the reason why it's so important. See, there were some guys that took a man on a bed and they let him down through the roof. And he got healed because he saw his friend's faith. It's one thing to pray the prayer of faith, but when the sickness or the attack is on you, where you got to feel it every day, you got to see it every day, and it hounds you, it's not as easy as it is for somebody who doesn't feel the pain, doesn't see it. They can pray in prayer. They can pray in faith and go on about their day. And then somebody has to come and remind them, say, hey, that guy you prayed for, he's all right. I know a little guy. Huh? I didn't. And this is one of the things that about prayer cloths, is you can make prayer cloths, send them to people, and you're not there feeling the pain. You're not seeing it. But you can stand in faith and you can say, my word that I sent forth was the word of God, and I sent it forth in faith, and that's just the way it is. Well, this guy showed up one day at the hardware store and said his friend was coming down to stay with him till he died. And said he had this terminal cancer and he was toast. And I said, well, just make a prayer cloth and you just put it in his pillowcase and don't worry about it. Don't say anything to him about it. Don't give him any reason to get into doubt or fight it. So 6 months later, the guy shows up and says, my friend is thriving. He's doing really good. He's actually driving around going places. 2 years later, I got to meet the guy down at another hardware store. He's still alive and kicking. Still going. But they had to remind me of it. They had to come and say, hey, man, this guy's alive. See the difference? That's why it's important to pay attention to the people that you let into your inner circles. Amen. You want to know exactly where they stand. Are they going to stand when the storm hits? Or are they going to be out there playing church? You got to pay attention. Now, let's get to the gist of what Jesus said here. Verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. And the literal translation is that the Greek translation said, have the God kind of faith. Now that sounds different than have faith in God than to have the God kind of faith. See, that's two different things. A lot of people believe in God. A lot of people have faith in God. But the God kind of faith is the faith that says something. Remember, when you got born again, you spoke forth your salvation. You had to say something out of your mouth. You had to say it. Now, verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, circle that word, whosoever, that's an all-qualifying word. Remember, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once you become a whosoever, you're a whosoever. And you're qualified 100% for this verse. Then, he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now there, Jesus mentioned the word believe one time. But he talked about saying something three times. And he told us what to do. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now your mountain could be sickness. Your mountain could be poverty. Your mountain could be crazy kids. Your mountain could be any number of things. Mountain could be loneliness, your mountain could be fear. Absolutely whatever is confronting you is your mountain. You know, did you know fear can be a mountain? You know, there's some people that get so afraid they just won't go outside. There's all kinds of different things that will confront people. And Jesus didn't say anything about you talking about that mountain. He doesn't want you talking about your sickness. He doesn't want you talking about your bills. He doesn't want you talking about your crazy kids. He doesn't want you talking about none of your problems. He said to talk to them. Now, what happens when people talk about the challenges in their life? These challenges get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they think about it more, and they meditate on it some more, and they keep talking about it, and they keep thinking about it, and pretty soon they've made a mountain out of a molehill. Literally, I told people, I said, you've got to just stop because you're pole vaulting over a mastered. You've got to stop. It may look like a big thing, but in the eyes of faith, it's a small thing. And when you start talking to that mountain, and you start taking the word of God in the name of Jesus and start talking to your problems get smaller and smaller and smaller, and you're glorifying God because you're using His words and speaking that forth in faith, and that's how you get the answer to your prayers. When you meditate on it enough, it's going to get in your heart. And you will receive what you believe. See, this is why God told Joshua to meditate on His word day and night. Not so he could memorize it and win a contest, but so he could get it in his heart. He said, then it will go well with you and you'll prosper. Well, that's how faith comes, is by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. However you may get it in there, whatever tool you may use, whether you get an audio Bible, whether you read your Bible, whether you listen to anointed preaching tapes, however you do it, we're blessed in this country to have a multitude of ways to get the Word in our ears, so we can get it in our heart, so we can get it in our mouth, so we can get it in our ears, so we can get it in our heart, so we can get it in our mouth. You know? So we can keep meditating on it and keep getting more and more faith. Now he said, you would receive what you believe. There are a lot of people running around saying you get what you pray for. And that's just not right. You get what you believe you receive. I mean, if we got what we prayed for, there wouldn't be nobody working. We'd all be running around in Cadillacs, have an oil well in our front yard, gold mine in the backyard. Let's face it, it's not biblical. You get what you believe you receive. The only way you're going to get it, to believe it, is to find it in the Bible and meditate on it until you can believe it in your heart and then say it with your mouth. Now, go to Hebrews. Well, actually, go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Jesus also said in this verse, said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Notice he didn't say hoping. You can't go in there hoping. You got to go in there believing. You can't go in there hoping I'm going to get healed. Can't go in there hoping God's going to meet my needs. You got to go in there believing that He's just going to do it, that He already has paid for it on the cross, and He has already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. The only way it's going to come is for you to get confidence in God. And the only way that happens is to know Him and to become fully persuaded that God is able also to perform those things which He said He would do. The only way to do that is to know Him. And the only way to know Him is through the Bible. I like Smith Wigglesworth. That guy did all kinds of cool things. He did some radical things. And he said, I don't know God by feeling. I don't know God by any other way other than the Word. Did you know that the Word is the source of the anointing? That's where that comes from. The Word of God. Now go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to look at the definition of faith. They gave us the definition of faith. It says, now, so you circle that word, because it's not a future thing. Faith is a now thing. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That the verb used is present tense. Remember, if it's not now, it's not faith. Faith is present tense. Hope is future. Even though you might say you believe, if you are putting it in the future, then you're not believing, you're hoping in order for it to work. It must be in the right tense. Faith is now. Some people are always believing that God is going to do something for them, but faith believes that He has done and is doing. This is where it takes you right straight to the cross. Absolutely everything was met at that cross. The minute Jesus died on that cross, He paid your sin debt. That's great. He also freely gave you all things with Christ Jesus. Yeah. All that stuff. All your needs are met at the cross. That's the gospel. That's why Paul preached the gospel of Christ. He said the gospel of Christ is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel. If it doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, walk away. Put it down and walk away. If it ever points to, you must do this, and then do this, and then do this, and then do this, guess what happened? They're putting you into works, and that won't do. Now, you can take those four things that a lot of times they may say that you must do, and you do them because I've already been put in this position. Amen. And I'm already receiving my promises because of the obedience of Christ. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to look at this. So, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Already. That's past tense. See, just the same way your salvation was paid for 2,000 years ago, but you didn't make it a reality until one day you were sitting in church and you decided to get born again. Your healing was paid for before your sins were. And he had to take those stripes on his back before he got to the cross. So your healing was already paid for. As far as God's concerned, you're already healed. Your job is to believe it, receive it. Believe it in your heart, and then say it with your mouth. Amen? Talk to your mountain. So, if you were healed by Jesus' stripes, then you are healed now, aren't you? Yeah. So, you know, with childlike faith, we can look at this and we can receive our healing. We can receive our finances. We can receive whatever it is we need to do. We can receive freedom. Whatever it is that you're faced with, you can receive it. We have to get these things in the right tense. Faith is present tense. As long as we're struggling to receive, hoping to see the answer sometime, it's not going to happen. It's just not. That's just hope. Faith says, it's mine. I have it now. How do we appropriate some of this stuff? You know, Jesus gave us a really good clue when he got to Lazarus' tomb. And he said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. Did you know Jesus thanked his way to a miracle? So you find a promise in the Bible, and you make a personal. Say, Father, I thank you that by his stripes I was healed. I mean, after all, why would you ask for something you already have? Father, I thank you, for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and I through his poverty been made rich. I'm wealthy. You know, you can do that. You might not have two pennies to rub together, but you can do that. And just as sure as your salvation became a reality, that will become a reality too. God can do mind-boggling things when you take his word and start making it a reality in your life and you start speaking it forth. I blow people's minds sometimes. I tell them I ran a trucking company one time. And we had millions of dollars worth of invoices going through this thing. And I say, wow. Yeah, it was cool. Man, I had 20 guys working for me, 15 trucks. And they say, where do you go to school? I say, oh, man, I got an 8th grade education in Upton, Wyoming. And they look at me like, what? Yeah, I did get a GED. But it was my attitude. It was my attitude. And it was a blessing on me. No, it's work. This was muddy work. We had to chain these trucks and nasty. And it worked like this. And I come walking in there and this guy said, why do you wear starched and pressed clothes to go to work? You're going to jump in a nasty old truck. You can go out there, crawl around under that thing, putting chains on it. You're going to wallow around in the mud for 17 hours, and you come in here starched and pressed? I said, yeah, I don't want anybody to think I work here. I want them to think I own this place. And my boss just happened to be sitting there, and he just sat there, and he thought, yeah. And he started promoting me. It was God promoting me. I didn't have to promote myself. God promoted that. But your attitude. I'll always remember, there was a guy I read about him. He survived the Holocaust. He was in one of those camps. I mean, you know, his very next step could have been into a gas chamber. And somebody asked him, said, they took away your clothes, they took your food, they took your family, they took everything you had. And he said, they didn't take everything, he said. I said, what do you mean they didn't take everything? They didn't take my attitude. That was the only thing they couldn't take. And he survived. In an impossible situation, he survived. Hope, of course, used properly, is a wonderful thing. I'm not saying to not pay attention to hope. You need to. We have a blessed hope in the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the righteous dead. The rapture of the living saints. You know, we have an account in the Bible of resurrections of the dead. Not just Jesus. Says after he got in the tomb, many dead people got resurrected and they went and visited their loved ones. I imagine there's some spooky people around here. I imagine when the resurrection of the righteous dead happens, they may sure enough really be spooked by then. I mean, we'll see how it goes. It'll be interesting. But that's all future tense. We thank God for that hope, but it's all future. Whether we believe it or not, it's in the future. It's going to happen. He is coming because the Word says so. The resurrection will take place whether we have faith or not. The dead in Christ will rise to meet Him in the air whether we believe it or not. Our faith or lack of faith will not affect these events. Jesus is coming back again because the Word says that He will. This is the blessed hope that all Christians look forward to. But faith is not hope. That can change the impossible to the possible. That's a faith. Can change the impossible to the possible. It is faith, not hope, that brings healing and victory. Hope is a good waiter, but a poor receiver. Too many times, folks say, I'm hoping and praying. All we can do now is hope and pray. If that is all you're doing, you're defeated. It takes positive faith and now faith to get positive results. So you're going to have to go at it as, I have already received this. This is mine. I take it by faith. But you're going to have to get His Word in your heart and get it in your mouth. Thank you, Father, for meeting all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said He already gave it to you. You just will thank Him and receive it. Instead of keep asking Him over and over and over for something that He's already given you. I guess that's all I got for this session. So we'll pick it up again next Wednesday. And we'll talk about daydreaming. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name for everything that He has done for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. And we thank you for that Him as our high priest is always standing watch over us. He's always mindful of us. He's always thinking of us. And the Holy Spirit is always helping us with our infirmities. So when we pray, We have him to help us pray, and we have Jesus to make our prayers perfect. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Hope is a good waiter. Hope is a good waiter, but it's not a good receiver. Faith is the receiver. Faith is what we use to call things that are not as though they are. You know, these natural things that we see are subject to be changed with the words of our mouth from the Spirit. Amen.